Well, hello and welcome, everybody. This is your host, Ken D. Foster. Welcome to another amazing episode of the Voices of Courage show. Today, we're going to call our show The Courage to Become the Leader of the Future. That's about you becoming the leader of the future. What is the leader of the future? Well, in my book, it's a leader that is stepping into their own power. It's a leader that has passion, understanding, wisdom. They have great experience. And they have great people skills to be able to look at themselves first and then also guide and show leaders the way, show other leaders the way. They're leaders of today, the new leaders that are coming in. They're really coaches. They're drawing out the best from their teams. They're showing their teams what real courage is about and how they can step into that courage to be able to think outside the box, to be able to become more productive without pushing and driving and creating the stress in the work environment. They're leaders that are showing their way to become better persons, better individuals, and better leaders on a consistent basis, if that makes sense. Listen, I have the leadership expert today is my guest, and wait till you hear who I have. I'm not going to tell you. You're going to have to wait for the break, but we'll be right back. And right after the break, I'm going to introduce my guest. We're going to talk all about leadership and how you can create an earned life of leadership yourself. We'll be right back.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers. This free book reveals little-known secrets about annuity strategies that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. Call right now for your free book. And as a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report, both absolutely free, for calling Annuity General today.
Call 800-510-0470.
Everybody wants cheap airfare, but where do you find it? You call low-cost airlines. They specialize in cheap flights, discount hotel rooms, cheap car rental rates, and with a best price guarantee. If you want the lowest prices on your airline tickets or other travel services, call now. That's right, call. That's the only way to get these rates. Experts are standing by 24/7 to get you the cheapest airfare and hotel rates available. So don't wait. Call now.
If you're living with diabetes and using insulin, you know the pain of pricking your fingers over and over again. By wearing a small remote device called a continuous glucose monitor, or CGM, you can reduce the pain of pricking your fingers right away. If you're testing your blood sugar four more times per day, injecting insulin three or more times per day, or using an insulin pump, call the Diabetic Health Hotline today and learn about the latest CGM technology. Not only can a CGM immediately reduce pain, it's accurate, easy to use, and helps you make better diabetes treatment decisions. And if you have Medicare, you can get a new CGM at little or no out-of-pocket cost. We'll also provide free shipping of your new CGM, and we'll bill your insurance company for you. If you are testing your blood sugar four more times per day and injecting insulin three or more times per day or using an insulin pump, call now and learn how to receive your new continuous glucose monitor at little or no out-of-pocket cost.
Hi, JJ is back because this is important. Do you know if your Medicare Advantage plan benefits are changing this year? Are your costs and co-pays going up? Is your doctor still covered? During the annual enrollment period, you can call to find out all the changes to your coverage. Plus, see if you're eligible for a plan with the benefit that adds money back to your Social Security check every month. AEP has a deadline, so don't delay. Call now.
I called to find a plan with lower copays and more dental coverage.
I called to see if my zip code has a plan with the benefit that adds money back to my Social Security check.
I called to make sure my doctors are still in my plan.
Extra benefits, extra money. Dynamite! AEP has a deadline, so don't delay. Call now.
Call 1-800-957-1821. That's 1-800-957-1821 now.
Well, Well, welcome back, everybody. This is Ken D. Foster. And today, as I mentioned, I have the master leader himself. His name is Dr. Marshall Goldsmith. And Dr. Goldsmith, welcome to the show. It's great to have you.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to have you here. For those of you that don't know Dr. Goldsmith, he is a New York Times number one bestselling author. He's written 51 books, sold over 3 million copies, and become a bestseller in 12 countries. Amazon has him as the best in success books ever written, and Marshall is one of the select few executive coaches who has worked with over 200 CEOs in their management teams. Marshall, hope I didn't mess that up too much, but you got so many accolades there, man. That's great.
That's fine.
Yeah. All right, man. Listen, you know, you've done so many interviews over the years, and I'd like to make this one really special for you and special for our audience. So, Marshall, what prompted you to get into the personal development world in the beginning?
I was very, very fortunate. I was a young man. I got a PhD from UCLA, and I pretty much randomly met a very famous man named Dr. Paul Hersey, H-E-R-S-E-Y. He and Ken Blanchard invented something called situational leadership. And I was wise enough to know who I was, and I certainly wasn't him. And I literally served the coffee and carried the bags and sat in the back of the room and tried to learn as much from him as I could. And one day he became double booked and he said, "Can you do what I do?" I said, "I don't know." He said, "I'll pay you $1,000 for a day if you can do this." I was making $15,000 for a year as an assistant professor. And I said, "You know, Paul, sign me up." I did a program for the Metropolitan Life Insurance Company, and they were really angry when I showed up because I was not him. Yet I got ranked first place of all the speakers in the program. So they said, "Send Marshall again." He said, "Do you want to do this again?" I said, "Paul, I'm making $15,000 a year. You're paying me $1,000 a day. I'm having fun. I love this work. I'll be happy to do it again." That's how I got into leadership development, and then indirectly started doing 360 feedback, which led into coaching. I met the wonderful Frances Hesselbein, who just unfortunately left us last week. And she introduced me to Peter Drucker, who's world's greatest authority on management. So the first book I edited was with Peter Drucker, Frances Hesselbein, and Richard Beckhard. I was basically nobody. But I did 7 books with them. So after a while, I started becoming one of them. And I learned a good saying: it's easy to look tall if you stand on the shoulders of giants. Mm. So I'm basically very, very lucky.
Yeah, that's really good. And, those are icons in the industry. And you become an icon in the industry. What have been some of your greatest challenges that people can learn from?
Well, I'm interviewed in the Harvard Business Review, and first I'll say, I'm asked a question: what's the number one problem or the challenge of the people you coach? And my answer is winning too much. Now, what that means is the people I coach are winners. I'm really a pioneer at making coaching help the winner as opposed to fix the loser. And my clients are all winners. If you look at my book, The Earned Life, look at the first 6 pages, just an amazing group of human beings. And the thing I've learned in terms of them is, one of their biggest challenges, they try to win too much. Why? They're winners. And it's hard for winners not to constantly win. And if it's important, we want to win. If it's meaningful, we want to win. If it's critical, we want to win. If it's trivial, we want to win. And if we're not careful, if it's not worth it, we want to win anyway. Winners like winning. And it's hard for winners not to win. I give a case study in my classes is, you have a hard day at work and you come home and your husband, wife, or friend or partner is there. The other person says, "I had such a hard day today. I had such a tough day." And if we're not careful, what do we say? "You had a hard day. You had a hard day. I mean, what I had to put up with today." We're so competitive, we have to prove we're more miserable than the people who live with us. Well, I gave this example to my class at the Dharma Tuck School. The guy raised his hand. He said, "I did that last week." I asked him, "What happened?" He said, "My wife looked at me. She said, 'Honey, you think you've had a hard day. It's not over.'"
I love that. When we think of winning, we think about being competitive. Can people be too competitive in this marketplace?
Of course. We can be competitive over nonsense. We can try to win pointless arguments with our friends over things that don't matter. We can prove we're smarter than our direct reports. And one thing, one of my great clients said, for the great achiever, it may be all about me, but for the great leader, it's about them. And it's hard to make this transition from it's all about me to it's all about them. Mm. And the higher up you go, you get the win anyway. Mm. The important thing is don't try to win every argument. One of my good coaching clients was J.P. Garnier, CEO of GlaxoSmithKline. I said, what'd you learn about leadership as the CEO of this company? He said, I learned a hard lesson. He said, my suggestions become orders. I said, if they're smart, they're orders. But if they're stupid, they're orders. If I want them to be orders, orders. If I don't, they're orders anyway. My suggestions become orders. I said, what'd you learn from me when I was your coach? He said, you taught me one lesson, help me be a better leader and have a happier life. If everyone listens, just learns this one lesson, they'll be a better leader and have a happier life. I said, what was the lesson? He said, before I speak, breathe and ask one question. Is it worth it?
Wow.
Is it worth it? And he said, half the time as the CEO of GlaxoSmithKline, if I had the discipline to stop and breathe and say, is it worth it? What did I decide? Am I right? Maybe. Is it worth it? No.
Is there a pattern you've seen with CEOs such as the one we're discussing that they overstress or overwork or, yeah, it seems like that's commonplace, at least in the media. I'm not sure that's commonplace in reality.
Yeah. I mean, the people I coach all work hard. I work hard. The problem is, to me, not working hard. Use two different words, stress and work hard, kind of not the same. I don't feel under a lot of stress. I do work a lot. I guess you could define it as work, but I like what I do. If you like what you do, it doesn't feel like work.
Uh-huh. What would you say are the top five qualities of successful leaders?
Well, I'm going to answer that not as just a successful leader, but how the leader of the future differs from the leader of the past. There are a lot of great books about what are the qualities of successful leaders, like Jim Kouzes wrote a book, The Leadership Challenge, a wonderful, wonderful book. Well, the difference between the leader of the future and the past is number one, called global thinking. In the future, leaders are all going to have to think globally, and diversity doesn't just mean in my country, it means in the world. The next thing is cross-cultural appreciation, understanding and working with people in different cultures. I mean, in the last 10 days, I've been in Saudi Arabia, I've been in the UAE, I've been in India. So yeah, I travel all the time. You need to appreciate people in different parts of the world. The third one is technological savvy, not being a technologist, but understanding how technology is going to influence you in the new world. Then the fourth one is building alliances and partnerships. Leadership is becoming much less top-down and much more horizontal or vertical or circular. Teaching people in organizations, building alliances, partnerships. And the final one is pretty much what you mentioned earlier when you described leadership. Peter Drucker said the leader of the past knew how to tell. The leader of the future knows how to ask. Most of us manage people who are knowledge workers. They know more about what they are doing than we do. Well, we can't tell them what to do and how to do it. We have to ask, listen, and learn. Pretty much what you said in your introduction to leadership.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, in my introduction to leadership, I talked about some of the soft leadership skills like love, compassion, you know, understanding and, you know, being present. How important are those in the leader of the future?
Oh, very important and very difficult. These are words that are quite easy to use, but can be quite difficult to execute. For example, being present. I'm a Buddhist, and being present is not easy. Being present is a discipline, and it's not easy to be. But we get checked out, we get distracted, we get lost all the time. One of the women in my 100 coach group is named Carol Kaufman, and she gave me the best technique of anyone I've ever seen about being present. And I've read 400 books on Buddhism. Skip the 400 books, just do this every day. Carry a card around with you that has one question. Am I being the person that I want to be right now? Mm-hmm. Am I being the person that I want to be right now? The answer is yes. That's great. The answer is no. Not so good. Mm-hmm. Well, we need to remind ourselves pretty constantly. Am I being the father I want to be, the son I want to be, the manager I want to be right now? And it's very easy to get distracted and get lost, so we don't become that person we want to be.
Well, that's an interesting conversation. We can go down that path a little bit because it's like I think a person kind of has to know who they are, what they stand for, to be the person that they are right now. But listen, yes, I got to take a quick break. So let's answer that when we come back. We'll be right back.
Attention cancer victims who use the weed killer Roundup. A federal jury unanimously found that Monsanto's popular weed killer Roundup was a substantial factor in causing cancer. You may be entitled to substantial compensation. If you or someone you love used Roundup and were diagnosed with cancer, call the number on your screen now. Don't wait. There may be time deadlines to file a claim.
Call 800-506-2151. That's 800-506-2151.
Do you listen to the TV on high volume or have trouble hearing conversations? Then you would benefit from hearing aids. Don't waste thousands on expensive hearing aids when you can get Nano's revolutionary technology just $347. Don't be fooled by higher-priced hearing aids. The CIC Recharge is a true hearing aid, not an amplifier. With rechargeable technology, many customers say is superior to more expensive models. Call now and get not one, but two Nano hearing aids for just $347. Plus, we'll add a portable charging dock and ship your order absolutely free. The CIC Recharge has a tiny in-the-ear canal design that is nearly invisible. Why keep missing out on important conversations or waste thousands of dollars? Call and get two CIC Recharge hearing aids for only $347 and free shipping. Call now.
800-817-7419. Again, that's 800-817-7419.
Imagine this is your money and someone wants to take it from you. Who is it? The IRS. Guess what? They want your money and they can take it, all of it if they want. Remember, they sent you that letter right over here that said, hey, you owe us a bunch of cash and we're going to take it from you right now. So what do? You fight back by letting our team of experts work it out with the IRS so you can keep your money. And hey, we're good at what we do. When you hire us, you get a team of guys on your side that know the IRS laws and will fight really hard to save your money. So, if you owe the IRS a ton of cash and you want to keep it, call right now and learn for free how we can help you put it back in your pocket. 5 minutes of your time right now can save you thousands of dollars. And the best part, it's a free call. So please call right now.
I've written a new book. It's called The Courage to Change Everything: Daily Strategies and Wisdom to Unlock Your Genius, Your Soul, and to Transform Your Life. So it's daily strategies. I wrote this specifically because over the years I've noticed in my own life and in the lives of my clients that, listen, a little inspiration doesn't get it. A little wisdom doesn't get it. A little action doesn't get it. It's daily, dripping on the mind, dripping on those actions, taking specific focused actions towards your dreams and setting specific goals, right? Goals help us to transform the little self into the possibilities that we have in each of us. All of us are given dreams, and if you're sitting there and you're not manifesting that dream, it's just a little bit of you is chipping away every day that's not happening until you finally wake up and say, I don't know how I'm going to do this, but I'm going to connect with something greater than myself, my force, my God, my life, my universe, whatever. I don't care what you call it. You tune into that force, and that's what's going to get you to the next level.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Kennedy Foster. We're talking with Dr. Marshall Goldsmith. For those of you that don't know Marshall, he's one of the best-selling authors in the country, has written about 51 books, and is a management coach, consultant, and leadership expert. Marshall, let's talk about what that question I just threw at you.
Yeah, the idea of knowing yourself, I think, very important. I want to give you I think it's very important to understand your values and to know the person that you want to be. It's also good, though, not to say to yourself, that's just the way I am, in a limiting way. Leaders do that all the time. For example, I'm a bad listener. I can't listen. I've never been able to listen. Well, why not? Well, that's just the way I am. I always say, do you have an incurable genetic defect? Do you have something stuck in your ears? You don't have to be that way. Well, as long as we say that's just the way I am, well, you're probably right. That's just the way you're going to be. Really, do you have to be that way? So going back to your good point, I think leaders have to know their own values. Who do I want to be? What do I want to stand for? On the other hand, try to not stereotype themselves in limiting ways.
Yeah, I like that. You know, my good friend Stephen Covey Jr., right?
I just saw him. What a nice guy. I saw him about a week ago. And I saw him in, where was I? I was in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, I think. And I just saw him. Very, very nice fellow. By the way,
he's a great guy, isn't he?
He talks just like, I knew his father. He talks just like his father. He doesn't look like his father, but he speaks just like his father. He's such a nice guy. I really liked him.
Yeah, he's become a buddy over the last few years. He wrote the foreword to my latest book called The Courage to Change Everything. And, you know, he's got his latest book out is his first one is Speed of Trust. I think he sold 3 million copies of that. But his second one is called Trust and Inspire. And he's talking about trust in inspiration in the workplace. I'd love to get your take on that. Like, how important is that right now for the leader of the future? Like, to be able to trust his employee, you know, to create trust in the environment.
Oh, I love what he writes. And, you know, the speed of trust to me just makes so much sense, because if you do not trust people, then your whole life is compliance, checking on people. What he points out in his book takes just a ton of time. And if you trust people, back to the other comment he makes about being inspirational, you show you believe in them. Well, it shows you believe in them by what you do, not by what you say. I mean, anybody can say these things, but the question is, how do you act every day? So I love what he does.
Yeah, that's great. All right, well, let's talk about your book, The Earned Life. All right, so The Earned Life is out, Marshall Goldsmith. And tell me, why did you write The Earned Life? What was your outcome for writing this one?
Well, what happened with this book historically is this. Of course, no one knew COVID was coming. I lived in Rancho Santa Fe, California. We put our house up for sale. I was just going to get a little apartment to live while the house was on the market. And fortunately, my wife talked me into getting a nice place. And so we got a nice place in La Jolla on the beach. And so I'm living down on the beach in La Jolla, and boom, COVID hits. And what I did was started doing Zoom calls with 60 amazing people. My friend Mark Thompson and I did Zoom calls with 60 amazing people over the COVID period. And, you know, many of the people's names are in the book, so they're not a secret. These included people like Pau Gasol, the basketball star, and Curtis Martin, National Football League Hall of Fame. We had Telly Leung, who played Aladdin on Broadway. We had the head of the Olympic Committee, the president of the World Bank, you know, just on and on and on. Amazing people, head of the Rockefeller Foundation. Yeah. And they all talked about their life every week, and they talked about what's going well, what's not going well, what are their challenges, and that what I learned from that led to this book, The Earned Life.
And so when somebody reads, when I have a reader, my audience is listening right now, what are some of the takeaways or benefits they might receive when they read this particular book?
Well, one of the main ones is this. First thing is, the book is very not Western. The book is more of a Eastern philosophy, Buddhism, Hindu book than a Western book. The book says, never become fixated on results. This is very old Hindu philosophy. Never become fixated on the results of what you do for two reasons. One, you don't control the results. Nobody came up with COVID. I mean, I didn't invent COVID. And two, well, what happens after you achieve the results? How much long-term peace and happiness does that bring? Not much, a day, a week, a month. The Buddhist term for this is called the hungry ghost. So the idea of the book is, you never get fixated on results or outcomes. You try to achieve, but you don't confuse achievement with peace or happiness. One of the names in the book is Albert Bourla. Albert was the CEO of Pfizer, or is the CEO of Pfizer. I called Albert. Albert! Few months ago. How's it go last year? Oh, good year. Well, came with vaccine. Big deal. Very good. I said, thank you. I use that vaccine. Very, very good. And, you know, then what else happened? Well, corporate profits, all-time high, employee satisfaction through the roof. You know, he was the CEO of the year. I said, Albert, what's your problem? He said, I have a huge problem. Next year. You see, do you think the people who bought the stock from Pfizer here care that he came up with a cure for that vaccine? Nah, that was last year. Next year, if Albert's value as a human being is he has to defeat last year and achieve more, might as well give it up. Michael Phelps won 25 gold medals. What do you think about doing after winning the last one? Killing himself. Well, never place your value as a human being on outcomes for a couple of reasons. Yeah. And that's just a game you can never win. My friend Curtis Martin, who's a member of our group, Curtis is in National Football League Hall of Fame. He tries to help former athletes. Many of these people are train wrecks. Why? They're trying to relive the past, trying to achieve more than they did last year, looking for more money or status. It's not going to cop. It's not going to happen. He needs to help them redo their lives. The great Western myth is, I will be happy when I get the money, status, BMW, condominium, I will be happy when. Well, there's only one book that ends with the phrase, and they lived happily ever after. That's a fairy tale. That's not the real world. Fair.
So doesn't that go against a lot of corporate culture, though, when they're driving goals, they're setting outcomes, they're working from, let's work from the end in mind and work backwards to achieve our whatever we're trying to achieve. Doesn't that philosophy kind of go in reverse of that?
Not really. In fact, when I was at UCLA, the basketball coach was a man named John Wooden. John Wooden never focused on results or winning games. He focused on be the best you can be. His feeling is, if you're the best you can be and you win, be proud. The best you can be and you lose, be proud. You're not the best you can be and you win, you have nothing to be proud of. Well, he was the winningest coach in history, and he didn't focus on that. He focused on really, what is it? Two things. Really focus on achievement to achieve. Achievement is a good thing. Achieve to achieve. I don't believe achievement in and of itself is going to lead to happiness or peace. It won't. If achievement would lead to happiness and peace, everyone I work with is a 99.9 on achievement. They'd all be dancing off the ceiling. Achievement is great for achievement. One of the people in our group is named Safi Bacall. If you ever get a chance to meet him, he's a great guy. He wrote a book called Loon Shots. And Safi said, I learned one thing over this COVID meetings. He said, I used to believe if I achieved more, I would be happy. He said, I finally realized, no, happiness and achievement are independent variables. They're both important and they're both different. But never achieve what the assumption is going to make you happy. It won't. I said, Safi, I'm glad you realize this. Number one, you already have a PhD in physics from Stanford. Number two, you've written a huge bestseller called Loon Shots. You've started four businesses, made tens of millions of dollars, and consulted to presidents. Now, if that is not enough achievement to make you happy, how much is? How much is? He's already a 99.99 on achievement now. You really believe getting to a 99.999 is going to make him a whole lot happier? Not really.
I don't think so. But, you know, in the I love where we're going here. You know, so what we're saying here is that you're becoming the best version of yourself for yourself. You're becoming for that piece. But as you become the best version of yourself for yourself, you're also in a place of serving the organization or serving others, because you're uplifting yourself. You're also probably becoming more productive, more filled with happiness, more fulfilled. That's what we're saying. Yeah.
Okay. And, you know, I mean, yeah, the reality is, I like the word service. A great friend of mine just died a couple of days ago, Frances Hesselbein. She was 107 years old. Peter Drucker said the greatest leader he's ever met. She was co-author of the first book with me. And, you know, I was in a group with her and eight retiring CEOs. And a couple of them started complaining about, I'm not sure what I'm going to do, blah, blah, blah. And she finally got tired of it and said, maybe if you thought about serving others instead of yourself, you'd find there was plenty to do. So there's no shortage of things we can do here.
I love that. All right, listen, I got to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit about intention versus goal setting, how that works in the workplace today. So we'll be right back. And for all of you, I want to thank you all for joining us today. It's been an amazing show. I hope you'll continue to look for and see the unseeable and know the unknowable and do the impossible. You can do it. You can change your life. You can change the world. You can make your life a much better place for everyone. Okay, take care. Thank you. Well, hello and welcome, everybody. This is your host, Ken D. Foster. Welcome to another amazing episode of the Voices of Courage show. Today, we're going to call our show The Courage to Become the Leader of the Future. That's about you becoming the leader of the future. What is the leader of the future? Well, in my book, it's a leader that is stepping into their own power. It's a leader that has passion, understanding, wisdom. They have great experience, and they have great people skills to be able to look at themselves first and then also guide and show leaders the way, show other leaders the way. They're leaders of today, the new leaders that are coming in. They're really coaches. They're drawing out the best from their teams. They're showing their teams what real courage is about and how they can step into that courage to be able to think outside the box, to be able to become more productive without pushing and driving and creating the stress in the work environment. They're leaders that are showing their way to become better persons, better individuals, and better leaders on a consistent basis, if that makes sense. Listen, I have the leadership expert today is my guest, and wait till you hear who I have. I'm not going to tell you. You're going to have to wait for the break, but we'll be right back. And right after the break, I'm going to introduce my guest. We're going to talk all about leadership and how you can create an earned life of leadership yourself. We'll be right back.
Attention cancer victims who use the weed killer Roundup. A federal jury unanimously found that Monsanto's popular weed killer Roundup was a substantial factor in causing cancer. You may be entitled to substantial compensation. If you or someone you love used Roundup and were diagnosed with cancer, call the number on your screen now. Don't wait. There may be time deadlines to file a claim.
Call 800-506-2151. That's 800-506-2151.
Do you listen to the TV on high volume or have trouble hearing conversations? Then you would benefit from hearing aids. Don't waste thousands on expensive hearing aids when you can get Nano's revolutionary technology just $347. Don't be fooled by higher-priced hearing aids. The CIC Recharge is a true hearing aid, not an amplifier. With rechargeable technology, many customers say is superior to more expensive models. Call now and get not one, but two Nano hearing aids for just $347. Plus, we'll add a portable charging dock and ship your order absolutely free. The CIC Recharge has a tiny in-the-ear canal design that is nearly invisible. Why keep missing out on important conversations or waste thousands of dollars? Call and get two CIC Recharge hearing aids for only $347 and free shipping. Call now.
800-817-7419. Again, that's 800-817-7419.
Imagine, this is your money, and someone wants to take it from you. Who is it? The IRS. Guess what? They want your money, and they can take it, all of it if they want. Remember, they sent you that letter right over here that said, hey, you owe us a bunch of cash, and we're going to take it from you right now. So what do? You fight back by letting our team of experts work it out with the IRS so you can keep your money. And hey, we're good at what we do. When you hire us, you get a team of guys on your side that know the IRS laws and will fight really hard to save your money. So, if you owe the IRS a ton of cash and you want to keep it, call right now and learn for free how we can help you put it back in your pocket. 5 minutes of your time right now can save you thousands of dollars. And the best part, it's a free call. So please call right now.
Attention cancer victims who use the weed killer Roundup. A federal jury unanimously found that Monsanto's popular weed killer Roundup was a substantial factor in causing cancer. You may be entitled to substantial compensation. If you or someone you love used Roundup weed killer and were diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, call the number on your screen now. The World Health Organization has designated glyphosate, the main ingredient in Roundup weed killer, a probable human carcinogen. Thousands of agriculture workers may have been exposed to serious health risks by using this dangerous product. You may be owed significant financial compensation from the manufacturer. Call and speak to an experienced attorney today for a free consultation. If you don't win, you pay nothing. If you or someone you love used Roundup and were diagnosed with cancer, call the number on your screen now. Don't wait. There may be time deadlines to file a claim.
Call 800-925-7921. That's 800-925-7921.
Here's an important message from the Diabetes Solution Center. Diabetics understand all too well the pain of pricking your fingers. But now, by wearing a small remote device called a continuous glucose monitor or CGM, you can immediately reduce your pain. It's easy to use and helps you make more accurate diabetes treatment decisions. If you are testing your blood sugar 4 or more times daily, injecting insulin 3 or more times daily, or using an insulin pump, call the Diabetes Solution Center right now.
Welcome, everybody. I'm speaking with Dr. Marshall Goldsmith, and we're talking about leadership in the coming years, what the future looks like. Marshall, I had the pleasure of interviewing Louise Hay prior to her passing at her penthouse here in San Diego. And when I asked her a question, I said, you know, Louise, tell me about goal setting. And she looked at me a little cross-eyed and said, Ken, I've never set a goal in my entire life. Now, Louise built her company. At the time she passed, I think she was doing $100 million or so in book publishing. So I'm just curious on your take on that, you know, goal setting versus intention. She was an intentional liver. She just intends it, tunes into her intuition, and goes out and does the deal versus somebody like maybe, you know, most people set goals or, you know, try to achieve things. What's your take on that?
And the answer is, I don't know. That's a very good question. I never thought about it, so I don't have a clue.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, well, I'm not sure that I've given a lot of thought to that, and I've interviewed hundreds of people now, and, you know, I've come across two people that don't set goals, and both of them were intentional. They came from a place of intentional living, so they, you know, they're long-term meditators. They tune in, and, you know, thought would come in. They'd start to visualize it in their mind and start to tune that into their values, their purpose, and think about it and start to create it inside and go out and start to allow it to happen and bring it in the world.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm a Buddhist, and Buddhists said, only do what I teach if it works for you. If it doesn't work in the context of your life, don't do it. The woman you've met sounds like she has a spectacular, successful life and didn't set goals. I've worked with some other people who have spectacular, successful lives and do set goals. So I would suggest do what works for you.
I love that. That's really good. So what's next for Marshall? You know, you've had a lot of success in your world. You know, you love writing, obviously. And, you know, you love teaching and traveling. What's next for you in the world?
Well, basically, I'm 73, so at this phase of my life, I want to make the most positive impact I can to help people have a little better life on the people that I meet while I'm alive or after I'm alive. And so that's why I'm writing and thinking, and I founded a program called 100 Coaches, which is a large part of my life today. I went to a session called Design the Life You Love, put on by a wonderful woman from Turkey named Ayşe Bursel. And in the Design the Life You Love program, she asked me, who are my heroes? My heroes were like the wonderful Frances Hesselbein, the lady that just died at 107, and Peter Drucker, and Paul Hersey, who I mentioned, and Warren Bennis, and just Alan Mulally, really, really nice people who helped me but didn't charge me any money. Very kind and generous. And she said, you should be more like them. I decided to adopt 15 people, teach them all I know for free. And the only price is when they get old, they had to do the same thing. Well, I made a little selfie video and put it on LinkedIn. I'm thinking 100 people might apply. Well, I was wrong on that case. It turned out over 18,000 people have applied to be adopted. So now I've adopted about 400 people, and the program's called 100 Coaches. And the rules are that people just give things to each other And the only price is you help somebody else. You don't have to pay a person back. There's no sense of reciprocity. You say, just say thank you when people give you something. And then the only expectation is you help another person. So that's a large part of my life going forward. And it's been really very rewarding for me.
You know, you and I were on the Global Oneness Summit this year. And by the way, they did spectacular. Thank you for your contribution this year. Their sales were doubled this year. They had more attendees by, I don't know, a third or so over last year. So they're really pleased with that. And you were part of that. On that program, you had talked about your library, in that you basically have a library that you give away to people. Right. And how did you come to the conclusion to give away basically that this all these works that you've done over the years?
Yeah. Well, you know, I give away everything. All my material you make, copy, share, download, duplicate, use in church, charity, nonprofit. I have my website. Go to the website. I've made hundreds of videos, hundreds of articles. You know, it's all free. I just did a program for coaching.com with 40 different videos. I just gave that to everybody. So my feeling is, you know, if I can help somebody, what am I saving it for? Yeah, we're all going to die anyway. Might as well do a little good here. So just help people. Just please knock yourself out.
What goes around comes around, or is there some karma that's coming back your way, or, you know, what do you attribute that, you know?
Well, I mean, sort of what goes around comes around. I'm not going to be here if it does come around. So I'm not planning on living forever here. So, I just hope that it helps somebody moving forward into the future.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm imagining a world where we all show up that way, where we have gifts, talents, and abilities that we pass on to the next one. Yeah. You know, you pass it down. And, you know, that's the world I want to live in. And that actually is the world I do live in. I work with a lot of people that are just
thinking. That's what you do anyway. That's what you do.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I do. It's what you do. All right, leadership. I got somebody new coming into leadership, you know, and they're, I'm just making this up, of course, and they're, you know, they're wondering, where do I begin as a leader? What are the principles that I should know walking into a corporation? Let's say they just got hired on as a manager in a corporation. What would you drive that first level leadership person to?
Well, you know, I always think leaders need to learn to ask. Just ask this question, how can I be a better? Ask the people around you, your managers, your peers, the people you manage. Learn to ask, listen to what people have to say in an open-minded way. Think about it before you talk. And then thank people. Don't punish the messenger. Thank people who try to help you. And then respond. Never promise to do everything people suggest. Leadership's not a popularity contest, but you promise to involve everybody, listen, then respond and do what you can, pick important areas to improve. And then really what matters is you have to follow up and stick with it. You don't get better just because you listen to a class or go to a course. You got to work over and over and over again. And I've got research from 86,000 people. If anyone wants a copy of it, send me an email, marshall@marshallgoldsmith.com. It says leadership. It's about leadership as a contact sport. And people that do this stuff almost invariably become more effective leaders around the world. It doesn't matter what country you're in.
What would you say in your library of books that you've written, what's the number one or two or maybe three books on leadership in your library that would benefit the leaders out there?
Well, my books that I've written, personally, I recommend two, and then I'm going to recommend some others. The two I recommend are What Got You Here Won't Get You There, which is a very, 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 that book sold, of all my books, that sold half of all of them. That sold 1.5 million copies. That's a hugely successful book. And so that's really a good book. I do recommend my new book, The Earned Life. I recommend a book that Sally Helgson wrote, and I was a secondary author, called How Women Rise. I also recommend for leadership my good friend Jim Kuzis' book, The Leadership Challenge. He keeps revising that book. It's a wonderful book about the qualities of leadership. And a lot of it shows that what doesn't change about leadership. And it's a wonderful, wonderful book. He's a great guy. And then my friend Francis Hesselbein, who wrote a couple of books on leadership. One of them's called Hesselbein on Leadership. I highly recommend that. My favorite book in the whole world. Yeah, my favorite book in the whole world is Old Path, White Clouds. And that was published by Thich Nhat Hanh, Buddhist monk.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he had a center down here in San Diego. I don't know if that's still going. Did you ever go out to any of the retreats? Yeah.
Yeah, I did. I also been to his place for a week in France.
Oh, nice. Nice, yeah. Yeah, I love his books. I love his philosophy. And he is a great world teacher. Yeah, absolutely. One thing I love about the Buddhist philosophy and also the Hindu, the yogi philosophies are, you know, we're not looking outside of ourselves. We're looking inside of ourselves. We're looking inside for the answers, right? We've stopped trying to figure out, you know, how we're going to change the world. And we start changing ourselves first, and then we become the change that we want to see in the world. So I love that part. Speaking of that, let me ask you back to leadership. You know, all the success people that you've coached over the years or I've coached over the years, they all didn't necessarily, in fact, most of them that I've coached didn't start out real winners. They started out struggling. They had many failures along the way. And what would you say, from your point of view, are some of the success stoppers that's happening in today's leadership that are red flags, you know, that leaders need to go, this is a success stopper. Don't go down this road. What would you say?
Well, the world today has changed in some interesting ways. And by the way, when I say change, some positive, some negative. Let me give you an example. I wrote an article in Chief Executive Magazine about this. Leaders are becoming nicer and nicer and nicer, and their feedback on being bullies is worse and worse and worse. Now, how can leaders actually be more humane than they have ever been in history, by far, and get feedback that they're less humane, by far? The reason is the world has changed. Let me give you an example. Medical doctors. Medical doctors were the worst. They would, you know, the old doctor would yell and scream at the young doctors, insult them, swear at them, do this, do this. They were terrible. You can't do that anymore. You can't do that anymore. The world has quite changed. You have toxic workplace complaints. The number of complaints about medical doctors as being bullies has skyrocketed, while their behavior is far better than it has ever been in history. Yet people say leaders bullies now compared to the past. Hello, anyone home? Ask the people who built the pyramids about bullies. I think they could give you a few stories better than anything you're going to hear about today. Well, it used to be awful. It's very much more positive today. On the whole, I think a lot of positive changes. The expectations of people are much higher. Let me give you the negative, though. The negative is, if you're not careful, leaders are afraid to tell the truth and afraid to deal with problems. So what happens is, let me give you an example. College professors are afraid of students now. A great inflation in the last 40 years has gone up virtually every year in the United States for 40 years. Why? Teachers are afraid to give the students bad grades. Grades go up, standards go down. So good news and bad news. I think the good news is the leaders are more sensitive than before, more people-oriented before, far less toxic than before. Bad news is the expectations are higher, and they're often afraid. And the fear is not paranoia. They're afraid of being put on social media, laughed at, humiliated. They're afraid. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a real challenge in society. And one of the reasons I wrote the book, The Courage to Change Everything, right? And I've learned it, and you might know this, you know, you change one thing and many things change around that. And, you know, it does, you know, the flip side of fear, of course, is courage, right? So we do, you know, and, you know, I'm not a big fan of fear, but I'm a big fan of being cautious. And so I like what you said about, you know, social media. You know, you got to be cautious about what you're putting out there because, people can bully and come back and, you know, you can experience a lot of turmoil as a result of that. So, yeah. So, you know, my point is that I think we need more courage in the world. What do you say to that?
I didn't quite understand what you just said.
Well, I believe that we're running on a lot of fear, you know, and whether they're real fears or made up fears, I think the world is running on a lot of fear today, especially in some of our corporate environments. So
Yes.
What's your take on that? How do we switch that into courage or switch that into something else?
Well, you know, I think back to that one comment, as you go through life, every meeting, every interaction, am I being the person I want to be right now? And look in the mirror, as you said, what are your own values? I liked what you said in the very beginning about leadership. What are your own values? What's important to you? Who are you? And then realize the world is what it is. You can sit there and say it's better, it's worse, whatever. What I teach people, like coaches, what is, you accept what is, you don't have to like it. Then you ask yourself, how can I make the best of what is? And Peter Drucker taught me a great lesson. He said, our mission in life is to make a positive difference, not to prove we're smart, not to prove we're right. We get so lost in proving how smart we are and right we are, we forget we're not here on earth for that. We're here to make a positive difference. Then he said, another great point is every decision in life is made by the person who has the power to make the decision. Make peace with that. And the decision maker is the customer. If I need to influence you to make a positive difference, there's one word to describe you. It's called customer. One word to describe me, salesperson. Customers don't have to buy. Salespeople have to sell. And you sell what you can change and sell what you can sell in life. Change what you can change and be much more of the happy warrior than the angry or paranoid person.
I love that. All right, I got to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers. This free book reveals little-known secrets about annuity strategies that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. Call right now for your free book. And as a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report, both absolutely free, for calling Annuity General today.
Call 800-510-0470.
Everybody wants cheap airfare, but where do you find it? You call low-cost airlines. They specialize in cheap flights, discount hotel rooms, cheap car rental rates, and with a best price guarantee. If you want the lowest prices on your airline tickets or other travel services, call now. That's right, call. That's the only way to get these rates. Experts are standing by 24/7 to get you the cheapest airfare and hotel rates available. So don't wait. Call now.
If you're living with diabetes and using insulin, you know the pain of pricking your fingers over and over again. By wearing a small remote device called a continuous glucose monitor, or CGM, you can reduce the pain of pricking your fingers right away. If you're testing your blood sugar 4 more times per day, injecting insulin 3 or more times per day, or using an insulin pump, call the Diabetic Health Hotline today and learn about the latest CGM technology. Not only can a CGM immediately reduce pain, it's accurate, easy to use, and helps you make better diabetes treatment decisions. And if you have Medicare, you can get a new CGM at little or no out-of-pocket cost. We'll also provide free shipping of your new CGM, and we'll bill your insurance company for you. If you are testing your blood sugar 4 more times per day and injecting insulin 3 or more times per day or using an insulin pump, call now and learn how to receive your new continuous glucose monitor at little or no out-of-pocket cost.
Hi, JJ is back because this is important. Do you know if your Medicare Advantage plan benefits are changing this year? Are your costs and copays going up? Is your doctor still covered? During the annual enrollment period, you can call to find out all the changes to your coverage. Plus, see if you're eligible for a plan with the benefit that adds money back to your Social Security check every month. AEP has a deadline, so don't delay. Call now.
I called to find a plan with lower copays and more dental coverage.
I called to see if my zip code has a plan with the benefit that adds money back to my Social Security check.
I called to make sure my doctors are still in my plan.
Extra benefits, extra money. Dynamite! AEP has a deadline, so don't delay. Call now.
Call 1-800-957-1821. That's 1-800-957-1821 now.
Well, welcome back, everybody. Talking with Dr. Marshall Goldsmith. What a wonderful interview. I'm so enjoying this interview with you, Marshall. This is
Me too. Very, very good.
Yeah, this
Thank
is
you
really
so much.
Good. Yeah. What do you think the greatest leadership challenges that are coming up, the ones in the future that are going to be for the leaders of today?
Well, I'm not sure this is the greatest challenge, but it's a fun challenge I'm working on right now. One of my good friends is Martin Lindstrom. I don't know if he's ever been on your show, but he's a great guy. He's a great author. He's the world's expert on branding. And Martin is working on a huge project right now involving the metaverse, involving 1,000 people. So I asked Martin, why are you doing this? I mean, I wrote an article 25 years ago that said, once you have instant download TV quality audio transmissions over the internet, I said, media addiction will surpass drug addiction and alcohol addiction combined as a social problem. The media addiction is a disaster around the world. And by the way, the metaverse is going to make it worse. Why in the world are you doing this? He doesn't even have a cell phone. Why are you doing this? You know what he said? Option A, stand outside and complain. Option B, do something good about it. And he said, yeah. You know what? This is going to happen whether you want it to happen or not. I want to be in the inside and try to make it better rather than just sit on the outside and critique. You know what I said? God bless you. I'm happy to join you on this project. So I'm working on right now this huge metaverse project, which is very futuristic and focused on the new world that is coming, by the way. It may take a while. Facebook may have been in it a little too early. It's coming. Nobody's going to stop it. How do you make the best of it?
Interesting. So everything's going to be digital then. Everything will be online. You'll put your whole world online is basically what's coming is what I'm hearing.
Well, the metaverse, the problem is you're literally going to be living in another world. And some good and some bad. I mean, I'm not in any way pretending this is all good. I don't believe that at all.
Yeah.
By the way, the average kid that's flunking out of school in the United States spends 55 hours a week on non-academic video or media, non-academic media, 55 hours a week. This is the average kid's flunking out of school. Not good. Not good at all.
Not good. You know, I've always wondered though, you know, these kids, they're doing simulators, whether it's, you know, they're like these video games. So some of them are like flight simulators. Some of them are war simulators. You know, these kids are digitally entombed, right? So I'm just wondering, you know, how that might apply in a positive way for them in the future, because this.
Well, you know, I think there are huge positive potential applications here. For example, you and I, we're talking to people right now online. People look at this through the internet. I think it's hopefully a positive thing. I mean, you want it to be positive. I want it to be positive. We're just trying to help people. Well, that's a good use. We're using it right now. I think it's very positive. On the other hand, I'm not sure how positive spending a billion hours watching PewDiePie and Kim Kardashian on social media, what positive influence comes out of that, or playing video games where you simulate killing people over and over again. That one loses me. So
it loses me too. I mean, you gotta guard your mind. You gotta watch what you put in your mind, because what you put in, you'll output at some point in your life. So I think you're right on. Listen, I gotta go. It's been an incredible interview. Thank you so much for being here. Dr. Marshall Goldsmith, you can see him where we go? www.marshallgoldsmith.com. Is that right?
That's it.
All his books, so you can Google them, and all his books are on Amazon and everywhere else. Dr. Goldsmith, thank you so much for being here. Okay.
Thank you. Had a wonderful time. Thank you for inviting me.
Oh, it's been a blast. I hope you come back and join us next year sometime.
Thank you so much.
I will. All right. And for all of you, I want to thank you all for joining us today. This has been an amazing show. I hope you'll continue to look for and see the unseeable and know the unknowable and do the impossible. You can do it. You can change your life. You can change the world. You can make your life a much better place for everyone. Okay. Take care.